I'll just hold say with you. Well, unless you don't like what you're hearing, then keep your hand down, and then we'll pretend like everything's fine. Thank you so much, Pam. Thank you for singing this morning. What a wonderful song. I want to invite y'all into the Gospel of John. John chapter, we're going to be in John, the 13th chapter, a couple of verses that are going to be there. Verse 33, and then just two verses, 33, 34, and 35 is where we are going to end up at. So translation of the Bible, this is one of the ones that I use called the New Revised Standard Version. You don't have to follow along with the one that you use. You can follow along with your favorite one too, but that's what you'll see on the screen. And this is Jesus talking with his disciples. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you. A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also have love for one another. And by this, all people shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's bow our heads. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you so much. We thank you, O God, for your Holy Spirit that has gathered us here. And we thank you, O Lord, for your holy words that are being spoken in our very midst. We pray and ask that our hearts may be open before you so that we may receive these as real and living words into our lives. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken into my heart. I pray and ask that these will be words that, in the words that I speak, that they will be words that are pleasing and that they're words that are acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. We all know last week I shared a little bit about myself. It's probably a dangerous thing for a preacher to start talking about themselves, but I did share just a little bit, told you a little bit about where I grew up, where I'm from. I grew up in Tarrant City. That's where I'm from. And Tarrant, if you're not all that familiar with Tarrant City, it's right off of Highway 79, a little bit north of the airport. But I grew up not too far away from right here. I knew about Gardendale, knew about Fultondale, knew about Mount Olive. And I asked all of you, but, you know, just a little bit about Mount Olive. And so I asked all of you, I said, please help me. I said, you know, there's not a whole lot that I know about Mount Olive, so please help me to learn about this neighborhood, learn about this community. And I have a few people that, you know, shared a couple things. I had no idea. I had no idea that there are mud houses, that there are packed earth and mud houses that are around here. So that's one of the interesting things that I learned about the neighborhood. But then I started thinking, well, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Maybe I'm asking to learn about the neighborhood, learning about the community, but I haven't heard about Grace Point. I haven't heard about our church. I haven't heard about our church together. And so you heard as we were singing just wonderfully, as our worship team was leading us this morning, all those references to the church, all those songs about the church. I need to know about our church. And so that's what I want. So everything, well, let's try, not everything last week, but that part about learning about Mount Olive, let's hold that for a minute. And y'all tell me stories about Grace Point. I want to hear those stories. I want to hear stories about our church and about what it means to be here. Because in our church, well, then I'll learn about Mount Olive too. I'll learn about all those other places that I've flipped through the directory and seen that all those places that you live. But I will say this, one great story that I've heard is that there was a Halloween where many of you were involved in passing out, right over there, right across the way, where many of you were involved in passing out candy in the gym, and it started raining. And it was a really messy night. Now, for Halloween, rain and messy nights and thunderstorms and everything like that, they're great for movies, they're great for TV shows, but what about trick-or-treating? Not so good for trick-or-treating when you have all this rain and have all this mess. And so that was one of those nights, but ours was inside. It was inside. It was at the gym. And so, there were other places that had decided that they were not going to be able to host. And they were not going to be able to have what they had planned for Halloween. They even canceled their plans for the night. And so Grace Point kept going in the middle of the rain, and even making a last-minute run to Dollar General to buy up all the candy on the shelves because, well, what happens if it's Halloween night and you run out of candy? Some really bad things can start happening. But you made that trip to go to Dollar General to buy up all the candy that was on the shelf because there were many more kids that assembled, many more kids that showed up to our church on that night, on that Halloween night, than what we were expecting. And it's absolutely amazing. The kinds of things that we do to take care of one another, even making those last minute trips to the store, even at the very last minute when there's no plans. Did you know that in the New Testament, there are two words that occur over and over again? One another. Those two words, one another, they occur more than 100 times just alone in the New Testament. And at least 59 of those times, those one another's, they are specific commands that Jesus is giving to his disciples. Each teaching how or how not we should get along with each other, how we should relate to each other. And some of the more positive ones are this, that we should love one another. Probably heard that one. In fact, that one lives even outside of Jesus' words. You can find that one in John, a couple of places in John. You can find it in Paul's letter to the Romans, the Thessalonians. You can even find it in the letter of 1 Peter. And also serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Submit to one another. Show hospitality to one another. But just think about that. More than 100 times showing us how to live as a community. And how to be the kind of people that Jesus has called us to be. And in fact, many of these one another's, this is the very interesting part about this, that these one another's, this idea about loving one another, this idea about caring for one another, this idea about serving one another, that those even live outside of the New Testament. They live outside of the Scriptures. There are, in fact, community organizations that have adopted these one another's as part of their mission. There are other organizations that have adopted this idea of caring for one another, loving one another, and they have made it the very central part of their organization and what they are doing together. But what about the world that we live in now? What about the world that we find ourselves in together? A world that's a couple thousand years away from Jesus, a world that's a couple thousand years even away from those first Christian communities that were coming together under the Apostle Paul with Peter. What about this world? It's probably fair to say that since COVID-19 and the results of all of us living in a global pandemic, it's probably fair to say that it's exposed some challenges to communities and what it means to live together in one another. I was just this morning talking to Bill in the lobby. He had no idea. I didn't share my manuscript with him this morning. But he had no idea that he was talking about. But it was interesting because COVID came up to us. And we talked about the struggle. We talked about the struggle, what it meant. But we were told that we could not be together with one another. And so we were talking about that. And it's probably fair to say that these one another's, that since that time, since March of 2020, that it's kind of been challenged with us. Many people, in fact, will self-report that they have increased feelings of loneliness and isolation, increase that started in March of 2020. That's probably no surprise. You probably and likely heard those stories before. You've probably even seen those statistics before. I will say some good news. There is some good news that's emerged. Gallup did a survey and said that in April of this year, and said that those numbers are actually starting to decrease just a little bit. Yet they still found that more than 44 million American adults report feeling significant loneliness. And so why are we talking about this? Why am I talking about these kinds of numbers when we are gathered in this place? Well, if you feel, as our children, I think, did this morning as they were kneeling at the altar, if you feel that this is a place, that this is a body and a community, if you feel that this is a place where you are loved, where you are supported, where you are cared for in this place, I want to remind you that this kind of support and belonging that you feel at Grace Point, remember that not everyone has this. You see, the power of caring for one another, the power of serving one another, the power of even loving one another can drastically affect the way that we feel when it comes to our own experiences of loneliness and isolation. And this is why I love that candy story. That's the way I'm calling it. That Halloween night here at Grace Point that I started and I shared with you today. Because whatever it took, our church was going to make sure that those children, that they felt loved, that they felt cared for. And even though it meant making an extra trip to the store, our church decided that they were going to serve them on that night. In fact, Jesus will teach this. This is what our reading for this morning really reflects on, is that Jesus will teach as his disciples and really his closest friends. The disciples will say at times to Jesus, they say, you know, we've left our homes, Jesus. We've left our jobs, Jesus. We've left everything behind, and we've come to follow you. And so as they are following Jesus, and as they're following him every step of the way, Jesus begins to talk about leaving them. If you notice in the Gospel of John, John 13:33, he calls them little children as he addresses them. He says, little children, I'm with you only a little longer. And that in itself is enough to trigger feelings of loneliness in any of us, even when we're at our best days. When someone we love and share our lives with reminds us that they are going to die. And Jesus then says, he says to him, he says, where I am going, you cannot come. This is again, John 13:33. Now all of us, we've all had these moments, experienced moments of loss. We've all had these moments of loneliness in our own lives. Times in our own lives when it feels like the whole world is even moving on and we are stuck, unable to even take that first step or even that next step. Like everyone else is going where we can never imagine being. And hearing those words where Jesus says, I am with you only a little longer. But it's in this moment of crisis. Crisis for the disciples. Crisis of feeling for the potential of being by themselves. The crisis of feeling that Jesus, the one that they have left everything behind to follow, is no longer going to be leading them, taking them by the hand, patting them on the shoulder, walking close to Jesus. But as Jesus exposes this feeling of extreme pain and isolation, this is when he offers a new command. A new commandment. Now, some of you are probably really familiar with Holy Week. You know that time when we gather on Palm Sunday? You know, children will often lead us and we will sing, and they'll gather with palm branches. We gather to remember Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem. And then as we go through on that Sunday to the next Sunday, which is Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection. You may remember that on that Thursday evening, that we remember the Lord's Supper. We remember communion. We remember that evening when Jesus took his disciples and washed their feet. We remember that Thursday before Jesus is crucified on Friday, and then we lead on to Holy Saturday, and then to Resurrection Sunday. Well, you may remember that on Maundy Thursday, that Thursday before Jesus, before he is arrested, that Thursday before Jesus is crucified on Friday, that he will gather with his disciples and he will give them a new command. This is where these words, John 13:33-35, this is where they emerge. It's in fact the guiding text for Maundy Thursday. And in fact, Maundy Thursday is a new command, a new mandate. It's where we get our English word mandate. And the new command is that you should love one another. Now this one, loving one another, this is something that emerges out of the Hebrew Scriptures. It comes in the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love those who love God. You see these throughout the Hebrew Scriptures. But Jesus moves and says, no, this is a new command. That you should love one another the way that I have loved you. To love as Jesus has loved you. And if we extend this idea to the Trinity, If we are reminded of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if we're reminded of the relationship that they have together, the life that they live together, it's not too far of a stretch to remind ourselves that this call, this command that comes to us, that we are to love as Jesus has loved us, that we are to love the way that God has loved us too. See, that is the new command that Jesus gives on that Thursday night. And that is the new command that makes our gathering so powerful. To imagine us loving as God has loved us. To imagine us loving the way that Jesus has loved us. To imagine being loved the same way that the Holy Spirit has come and touched our lives and loved us. You see, when we embrace the power of loving one another the way that God loves us, what chance does loneliness, what chance does isolation have here at Grace Point? Imagine that. When we love one another the way that God loves us, how powerful will this be in our own marriages? Imagine in our own families. Imagine in the time that we spend at work and at school, if we are people who love one another the way that God loves us. You see, what I think is so easy for all of us to overlook are the many ways that we're connected. The many ways that we love each other, the many ways that we love our church. It's almost like this old story. Well, this old story that where there's a couple of fish that are swimming. There's a couple of fish that are swimming in the water. They're swimming, and then all of a sudden this other fish comes by them and swims right past them. And then as he is swimming past the two fish that are swimming together, this one fish says, "How's the water today, boys?" And they don't know how to respond. They just kind of nod and they keep swimming. And they swim and they swim and they swim a little bit longer. And then one of the fish turns to the other fish and he says, "What in the world is water? We don't know what water is." And I think that everything that not only am I preaching about, but everything that we've been singing about, everything that I was attempting to share, y'all can judge me on that and see if I did an appropriate job or not, but as I was attempting to share with our children this morning, everything that we're doing is kind of this water. We're all swimming in it. We know what it's like to be part of a community and a church that loves us. We know what it's like to feel Jesus' love as it comes to us. But again, if we're not careful, we can overlook this. I know in my own experience at church, I see us as a community, in fact, within a community. Of course, Jesus is at the center of everything that we sing, everything that we teach, everything that we do. And because of Jesus' proximity to us, and because of the power of God, and in fact, because of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's easy to overlook. You see, in fact, we have a power in our community that cannot be found anywhere else. You see, when we love one another the way that God loves us, when we care for one another, when we serve one another, when we encourage one another, that's when Grace Point becomes a powerful community inside the communities that we're already living in, inside the communities we're working in, we're playing in fact, going to school in. And as we grow as disciples of Jesus, it's enough to be so comfortable to us that it's like this water is to a fish. Imagine in that survey from Gallup, where 44 million adult Americans self-reports that they felt loneliness a lot of the day yesterday. That's in fact how Gallup posed the question. That 44 million adults in this country, and the good news again is that those numbers are decreasing. So we get further and further away, I think. But imagine that at least 44 million adults in this country who report that they have feelings of loneliness a lot of the day yesterday. Imagine if this was a place for them to feel loved by one another, even care by one another. In fact, to be encouraged by one another. Imagine Grace Point being the church where everyone loved the way that God has already loved you. Who wants to swim in that kind of water? Let's bow our heads. Oh Lord, we thank you for the sheer power that you have given to us as a community. And we pray and ask, Lord, that you will let us love one another the way that you love us. We pray and we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
So stand.
Our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship.